This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Stamps.com, ExpressVPN, Hawthorne, Upstart, and Omax Health. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it. From the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Make sure you're signing up for that email blast over there. And make sure you are signed up for the YouTube channel. All right? Get over there. Sign up for the YouTube channel. Sign up for the Patreon, The Honeydew with y'all. If you or someone you know thinks you have a story that needs to be heard, please submit at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. We have talked to a lady with two pussies. We have talked to a guy whose dad came out when he was almost 50. We've talked to someone whose wife was addicted to online video games and married the king from the game. We have talked to, we talked to a guy who died twice. Talked to a dude who died twice. Also talked to a guy who woke up to a stranger in his bed when he was 7 years old. Apparently was terrorizing the neighborhood. So, y'all got some fucking stories. Keep submitting them. We'll keep doing them. And thank you to everybody out there in Nightpants Nation. I'm telling you guys sold out the fucking actual manufacturer. So thank you very much. They're all back. We got night shorts, hoodies, mugs, all that stuff. The website is thehoneydewpodcast.com. That's where you'll get all merch, social media, all that stuff. Also, as I say all the time, I record here at Santa Monica Music Center. If you want to take some online lessons, this is the spot. Go to santamonicamusic.com. Use the code Honeydew. They will give you free registration. They'll waive that fee and give you one free lesson when you sign up for a package. All right. Now that that's all out of the way, let's get down to business. As I always say, we highlight the lowlights here. These are the stories behind the storytellers. And this week, our storyteller, I'm very excited to have her here. First time on the Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sarah Weinshank, y'all.
Yay!
Thank you.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are. Thank you for putting up with me. I've been bugging the fuck out of you.
We made it happen.
We did make it happen. It always takes a long time. I tell everybody, like, it's not that easy to get schedules together.
Even during a pandemic.
You're a busy woman.
Yes.
So thank you for making time for me.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into anything, please promote everything.
Okay, I have a podcast called Shank. That's S-H-E-N-K. It's available on all streaming platforms.
Spotify. It's a great show. I did
Thank
it.
You.
It's
yeah,
a great
you
show.
Did it.
I had a lot of fun.
So much fun. It's also on YouTube under Sarah Weinshank. Check that out. And then I did a Comedy Central cannabis smoking show called Shanks for Smoking. You can find that on YouTube as well. And yeah, that's it. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Princess Shank.
Yeah, princess.
Like normal.
Right.
And then another S-H-E-N-K.
Got it. Princess Shank on Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I made that handle not realizing that it was going to stick with me through my 30s. So now I'm a fucking princess for the rest of my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I'm just owning it now.
Oh, damn it.
It's like can't change the handle once you feel like it's who you are.
Well, let me make you feel better about that then, because I tell my daughter all the time, she'll be 6 in October, she's super into princesses, and everyone's like, there's a whole group out there that's like, you know, you shouldn't raise your daughter like that, don't be princess and whatever. And I'm just like, look, man, these chicks have been through some shit. Like, every one of them's lost a close relative. They're all going through, they got a power they don't fucking understand. They got a lot of shit going on.
Heck
and
yeah.
They're getting abused. They're getting treated like shit. So I was like, you know what? It's not.
Right.
It's not. You got to fucking be down and then come to the top. It's all about that fucking transition and that rise.
Earn the fucking crown.
That's it.
That's true.
Fucking it.
Yeah.
Every one of them earned that fucking crown.
Yeah.
And half the people out there judging will never go through what Moana did. To get Some of y'all can't even swim.
Moana's a survivor.
Mm-hmm. So good on you, Princess Shank.
Thank you so much.
So Let's start with where you're from originally, and then we're going to get into an interesting story you have. Yeah.
Yes.
You have a story. So this is the other thing, too, because a lot of people do a life story.
Mm-hmm.
Kira Sultanovich did 1 year of her life during a crazy pregnancy. So I'm excited to hear what you have to share.
That's crazy. I'm excited. So you asked me where I grew up.
Yeah. Where are you from here?
I am from the San Fernando Valley, 818.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah, so I grew up in LA, which was, the valley's just like anywhere, basically.
Where in the valley did you grow up?
In Encino.
Encino, okay.
Yeah. So I guess I had like access to LA when I was a teenager, which I took advantage of. It was a little wild, but, overall I like growing up in LA for sure. I love the valley.
Yeah.
I'm like a valley girl through and through.
Listen, I love the valley. I lived in Sherman Oaks for... I mean, over 10 years. I loved it out there.
Yeah.
I love it. I like, you know, that little stretch there, too, is a great run from Encino to Sherman Oaks to Studio City. Oh,
yeah.
It's really nice. That's a nice area.
Yeah.
So when did you get into comedy then? Was it?
10 years ago.
But were you always going to shows? Were you around? Like, what got you into that?
Well, like, as a kid, I always performed. Like, I was in theater a lot, acting classes a lot, and I just wanted to be a performer. And growing up in L.A., I remember telling my parents, like, I want to be an actress. And they're like, we're not raising a child star.
Okay, so they weren't in
entertainment?
They were
not on board.
What do they do?
At all. My dad is a lawyer. My mom does his accounting. So they're like, no.
Yeah, like,
I was like, I wanted to go to auditions. And they're like, we're not taking you to auditions. You're going to school. And I was like, there's all these kids in my class and they get to miss school to go to auditions. I think I should be going to auditions.
So that was a regular thing for kids in your school? Because we didn't have any.
Yeah.
If you were missing, there was something going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Like this guy that I had a crush on, he was like a background actor. I didn't realize he was a background actor because he said he was in the movie Little Rascals. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to go see this movie. Little
How
Rascals.
Old are you at the time?
Third grade.
Okay.
And I had a crush on him and he was in Little Rascals. And then I was like, Mom, you have to take me to see Little Rascals. So she took me to see Little Rascals, and you could just see like the side of his arm. And I was
that
like,
was it.
And I still remember being like, that's tight, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw
I wish
you.
I
saw you, Kevin.
Yeah.
I saw you.
Yeah, like I wish that was me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they were like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be like stage parents. My mom took me one day to be an extra in an Olsen twin movie, which was like the highlight of my life.
Which movie?
I don't know which movie it was. I don't remember
which
movie. Were
you in it, or did they get like your hand?
No, it was like my, exactly. It was my acting teacher at the time, her like claim to fame. I think she might have been like a hack. Who knows? She was like, I coached the Olsen twins with acting. And I was like, that's going to be my acting teacher. And it was like in Sherman Oaks or Studio City. Mm-hmm. And she was like, we're filming this big movie with the Olsen twins. And if you take my class and you want to come be a background actor, you can. So I begged my mom to take me because I was also obsessed with the Olsen twins. So obsessed with them. And she was like, fine. And she took me to do it. And the other parents were so crazy that she was like, we're never doing that again.
I'll bet.
She was like, I hope you had fun because we're never doing that again. And I was like, what do you mean? This is the best day of my fucking life. And like, I literally just remember like the Olsen twins getting their hair brushed and like freshly powdered and me being like, damn, I wish that was me. Like, come give me a touch up, you know? Like,
yeah.
I just remember being like, what is this? Like, I want to be involved in whatever this process is. Like, whatever this creative process is where you can just... like play, like that's what I want to be a part of. And so then in like high school and stuff, I did like so many improv classes.
Okay.
And like theater stuff. And
did they offer out here in California, did they offer that kind of class in high school, an improv
class? It was an
class?
Elective.
But it was taught at your high school?
It was like a theater slash improv. And it was
shit.
Like so fun. Yeah. And I loved
that
it.
That seems very LA or New York
I was
to
very
me. Or
like,
Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. So I did that in high school and it just like came very.
Were you a good student? Even though you didn't really want to do that, did you get good grades?
In high school, I had okay grades. In college, I got really good grades.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where'd you go to college?
Chapman in Orange County.
Okay.
It was very boring. It's the most boring school of all time. It was like literally like so many boring, like rich white people. I was like, Orange County is not for me.
It's not like the Valley.
No. There's no diversity at all. everyone was like the school that I went to, this, there would be kids who went to the school and they were so stupid that the only way that they could get into college was if their parents donated something to the school. So like this girl, the dumbest girl you've ever met in your life, right? Full plastic surgery. She was only in the school because her parents donated a wing to the school.
Oh, that kind of a donation. Full wing. I'm thinking like we got an old Buick out back.
Yeah, no. It's not like a wing. Bench. It's like her last name was the name of the wing right, of the school. It was crazy.
Yeah, you could skate by when you got some shit like that.
She's
like,
I'm going to rehab for a little while. I'll be back. And she comes back and she's like clean. And then she'd like go away again, get a plastic surgery, come back. So like the college I went to was very bizarre and I hated it. I was like, my parents were like, I didn't want to go to college. I just wanted to do acting. My parents were like, no, you're going to college. And I was like, no, I want to audition for The Real World.
Audition.
Yeah. I was like, they're holding an open casting in Santa Barbara. I want to audition for that. Trust me, this is the path that I'm on. And if I get onto The Real World, then I'm not going to college. And they're like, you're not doing that. You're going to college. And I was like, okay, fine. But after I get out of college, I'm going to be in The Real World. And they're like,
it'll still be on.
They're like, okay, whatever. So I went to college and I was like so over it that I forced myself to graduate early because I just wanted to get out.
Just took like a boatload of shit and got it done.
Yeah.
Did you commute or did you live there?
I lived in Orange County and I came home all the time. I'd be like, fuck Orange County.
Yeah. So
I'm
going to
go
commuted.
Out in L.A. And then before I did stand up, I would go out a lot in L.A.
Like, and what was going out for you before stand up? Okay. Clubs.
Like, I had like a club phase, like an L.A. girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like from the time I was like 18 to 22.
Okay.
And it was like I had a fake ID before I turned 21 and I would go to all these clubs and I would go like Monday I go here, Tuesday I go here, Thursday I go here. And it was like, you know, everybody. And it's just like this empty scene of like club LA kids. And like I would go hang out there and it would be like, like, this is cool. Nicole Richie just stopped by. Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan. Like,
you're seeing all that.
Seeing all of that. And that was like before like social media was what it is now. Mm-hmm. So it was like a big deal. And it was like, oh my God, a celebrity. It was like a fucking thing. And I got really like sucked into that scene before I started stand up. And then I found stand up. And then that basically saved me.
And what got you stand up?
I took an acting class. I was taking an acting class and my acting teacher was like, you're really funny. He gave everybody different assignments. He was like, everyone was supposed to write a monologue. And for me, he was like, you're going to write a stand-up set.
Oh, nice.
And so my first stand-up set that I ever did was actually in an acting class.
So you never thought of being a comedian or anything prior to that? Or did you have interest or did you like comedy?
I loved comedy.
Did you go see shows, especially being out here?
Not really. I just like, for me, like one of my earliest like childhood memories was like my dad watching Robin Williams and like his reaction to it was like, I've never seen him laugh like that before. So I think there is like something like I just remember being like, that's a job. I could do that. Like, let's do that. Like, how do I do that? You know what I mean? So it was always like there, but I didn't really know. I thought I was going to be an actress. I didn't know I was going to get into stand up. And then I did stand up in my acting class. And then I kind of just like didn't do it for a little bit after that. Cause like, what's the next step if you're new? And then I started, my first show I ever did was a bringer show at the Comedy Store.
Wow, nice. Very nice.
And bombed in front of all of my family and friends several times.
This is what every comedian I talk to, it's so funny. It makes sense why we're so broken and why relationships fail. Like the first experience was miserable and we're still like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to torture myself.
Yeah. For the next,
I'm gonna fix this guy or this girl years. And comedy.
Yeah.
No, you're fucking not.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna crack this case.
Like this sucked the first time, man. I should do this.
Oh my god, so bad. Like the stuff that I would do when I first started, I can't even think about without feeling.
Well, you have performed in some interesting places.
Mm-hmm.
So how about, do you mind telling this story, which leads up to apparently a performance as well?
Yes.
Are you cool telling
the
it?
The psych ward story?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So let's back up for a second. So like in high school, my grades were like, what? They weren't that great. And so, and I always felt like, not dumb, but like I didn't understand math, or I didn't understand certain subjects. Like I didn't have an interest in them. So my comprehend, like the way that I couldn't process it the same way. But like English, no problem. Fucking anything that was like writing based or reading based or like memorization based, no problem.
Can I say this? I'm not saying this to sound like a douche, but I was in like accelerated classes.
Yeah.
But math was, I mean, that was my, I would struggle to get a 70.
Yeah, no.
And I would use the gym A to cancel out that C so I could get a 3.0.
Yeah.
That way I could get my insurance cheaper and I could get that free Pizza Hut pizza and shit.
Yeah.
But I always argued like, why does it have to be, if you're in one of the gifted and talented classes, you got to be in all of them. Like it was like, it's all or none. I was like, that's fucking bullshit. I did intro to calculus. I audited. They wouldn't let me out. I wrote a fake letter saying it was from my mom and that I was academically misplaced when I was a senior, and they made me sit in the calculus class, but I was on audit.
No.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So okay, that's just kind of like the backstory. So then when I got to college, a lot of people were taking Adderall in college to like crank out the papers and like get the shit done.
So from what I know, meth is very popular focusing and running those long nights, but Adderall snorted, right? People snorting it?
We would just take it like a pill. Yeah, it wasn't like we were snorting.
And is it a speed thing?
It is, but like I also, like as a kid, I definitely think that I had ADD.
Okay.
Like I had a trouble like sitting down and like focusing and doing shit because I had like so many different ideas. I think that kind of just comes with like the territory of like being a creative person.
Sure.
And not everybody learns the same way. And
at all,
it's,
yeah.
You know, so for me it was like, so then I started taking Adderall, and in college my grades were like incredible.
So did you immediately notice a difference on Adderall? Like, whoa, this is, yes, this
productive.
Is-
Productivity wise, yeah.
Okay.
Like I could just like,
but not your focus necessarily didn't change. All of it.
I could do anything and it felt like I was like a genius, and it was all so easy for me on Adderall. And so then after college, and like I think that like our society rewards people for productivity. Like everything's so action based. Like what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And so after college, I started stand up, and then I also had a personal assistant job during the day.
Okay.
So I would do the personal assistant job during the day, and then I would do stand up at night. So my day would start at like 8:30 in the morning, and then it wouldn't end till like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I went to a psychiatrist, and they prescribed me Adderall. So then I started taking Adderall throughout like that whole time. And I was like able to get everything I needed to do done. And I felt like I was killing the game. Then, but like also I was just on meth basically. Prescribed meth. I'm like, I'm killing the game. I'm a total bitch to be around because I'm coming down from meth right now. But like I am killing the game. My closet's never been fucking cleaner. Everything's color coded. I know where everything is. Like I felt like untouchable, but you know it's bad for you while you're taking it because it's like you're not sleeping, not as much. No, you're not getting proper sleep. You're just not operating like a fully functioning person in the same way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But you can do a lot. So what happened was I decided that I wanted to get off of it. Because I was like, this is not, it just felt like I wasn't being authentic to myself. And it honestly started to feel like it was like stifling my creativity because it was like,
after how long? At what
after
point?
After like
months, a year, how long?
Like 5 years.
Years, okay.
Yeah, 5 years.
5 years.
It was a long time.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Hawthorne. So I've told you about Hawthorne already a few weeks ago, and I'm telling you, as far as the men's products go, they're the best. My stepson, he took them. He started taking my cologne, the deodorant, the shampoo, everything. Like, I'm trying to have to split it with the kid now. And then we started talking about it. I was like, you know what? You should. You're 16. You got funk. You should be wearing this, but so should I. And it's a good balance. If you're looking for, like, something, especially if you're a parent looking for something for your teenage boy or your husband or your boyfriend, it's you want to try to get them into different products. This, I'm telling you, this is the way to go. All right. They have a quiz. You can go right online, take a quiz. They ask great questions and they'll tailor everything right to you. All right. So the deodorant, the shampoo, the body wash, the face cleanser, all of it is great. This is what you're going to do. You're going to take a quick 2-minute quiz and Hawthorne's going to tell you the two colognes that are best for you. There's one for work and there's one for play. It's totally risk-free with free shipping and free returns. Free, free, free. So check out Hawthorne.co, and I am saying that correctly. It's Hawthorne.co, and use the promo code Honeydew. You'll get 10% off your first purchase. That's Hawthorne.co. Use my code Honeydew to get 10% off your purchase. Our next sponsor is ExpressVPN. All right. Now, we all know ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, right? But here's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Now that so many of us are stuck at home, it's only a matter of time until you run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. So this whole week, I've been using ExpressVPN to binge Doctor Who on UK Netflix. It's so simple to do. I just fire up the ExpressVPN app. I change my location to the UK. I refresh Netflix, and that's it. All right, ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. So you can choose from almost 100 different countries. So think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through, all right? But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. That's Hulu, the BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are literally hundreds of VPNs out there, but ExpressVPN is the way to go. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, your phones, your media consoles, your smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want on a personal device on the big screen wherever you are. So I want you to go visit my special link right now at expressvpn.com/honeydew. And you're going to get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Okay, you can support the show, you can watch what you want, and you can protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Stamps.com. Now, as we slowly adjust to a new normal, we still need to be smart about how we do business. Now, luckily, there's Stamps.com to make things easier. Thousands of small business owners have discovered the benefits of Stamps.com in recent months. They've been able to keep their businesses running and avoid the crowds at the post office, all from their own computers. With Stamps.com, you can print postage on demand and avoid going to the post office, and you'll save money with discounted rates you can't even get at the post office. Stamps.com also offers UPS services. Shout out to UPS Baltimore Hub Primary 1 Joe Avenue. With discounts up to 62% and no residential surcharges. Stamps.com brings all the mailing and shipping services you need right to your computer in the comfort of your home or office. So whether you're a small business sending invoices, if you're an online seller shipping out products, or you're just working from home and need to mail stuff, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, you just leave it for your mail carrier, you schedule a pickup, or you drop it in a mailbox. It's that simple. And like I said, with Stamps.com, you get real discounts too, okay? 5 cents off every stamp and up to 62% off USPS and UPS shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, saving you time and money. And right now, my listeners get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, okay, plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Honeydew. That's Stamps.com. Enter Honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew. And during that, you were like, I got this shit.
Like, during it, it was like, it was all very manageable. Like, I thought it was manageable, but like internally, I knew I didn't want to be on this I didn't want to be like needing to take a pill every day to mm-hmm. like do what I had to do.
Right.
But I also just felt like I was killing it. So why would I get off of it? So I talked to my psychiatrist and I was like, I really want to get off Adderall. And he was like, okay, we'll just start like weaning down. And they're like, I'm like, okay, can you like tell me how to do that? So like, just take less of it. So I just started taking less of it, like half pills. And it was like, I felt so tired all the time when I like decreased the dosage. Like
instantly?
Like so tired, but like not just like so tired. It feels like you're like coming down from like drugs and like you don't feel good. It's just like bad. And then what happened was Brody died. And yeah. I was like, I'm not going to take my medication anymore because I just want to sleep. And so I just completely, like, I was so depressed. I just cut it cold turkey and I went into like a crazy, like, psychosis.
For real. So
it was like right around that time because I was like, I just want to be asleep. Like, I'm so sad about this. Like, and then I just stopped taking my medication. And like, within like 72 hours, I went into like a psychosis.
What are you starting to notice first? Like, what's the first thing you're starting to feel?
I didn't notice it. My roommate at the time was like, bitch, you're crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
You had no idea.
I was just like, there was so much happening because Brody had just died. Mm-hmm. So I was like, so like, that was like so sad to me that like, and I just stopped taking my medication completely. And that affects like your brain chemicals and your serotonin levels. And there's like a way to taper off of it that a doctor's supposed to guide right. you through
yeah,
the process. Halves
and all the way out till it's done. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just did it myself. And my roommate was like, called my parents and was like, Sarah's like not doing well. My parents were like,
what are you doing that she's seeing that?
I'm waking her up at 8 a.m. I'm like, hey, what's up? She's like, get out of my room. What are you doing? And I was like, can I tell you something? Can I do this? Like, do you want to go to breakfast? She's like, no, just like completely off the rails. And just like putting things together that didn't really make sense and like saying things that didn't really make sense. Like, I'm trying to think of like, I mean, like, I was definitely in a psychosis because my parents were like, are you on drugs? And I was like, I'm not currently on drugs, but I have done a lot of drugs.
That was your answer.
They're like, which drugs? And I'm like telling my mom about my mushroom trips and like my acid trips and like all this shit. And I was like, it was a very beautiful healing experience, which is like, obviously I wasn't operating as my normal self because I was just like divulging all this stuff to her. But yeah, just like all over the place. Completely all over the place. I can't remember like the details because it almost feels like I like blacked out.
Okay.
But I remember like some highlights of the whole experience. So yeah. So basically my parents were like, there's something wrong with you because I was acting really abnormal to the point where like we have to call the police.
The police?
The police. Yes, because that's what to get me into the psych ward because they didn't know what was going on with me because they didn't realize that I was on Adderall. They didn't know.
Okay.
So I was like, I took Adderall, but I'm off of it now. And they're like, okay. Basically, they thought that like maybe I was like losing it or like a full drug addict. They had no clue what was going on. I didn't really know what was going on. So then like 12 cops come to my parents' house.
Are you for real?
For real.
And what time of day is this?
I mean, it's like 6:30 p.m. And they come and I charmed them.
We couldn't get that for the fucking riots out here, Sarah.
I charmed them. I charmed I'll them bet. Out of taking me to Nuh-uh. The psych ward.
How'd you do it?
I was like, I'm fine. Like, yeah, I was like very cooperative. Like whatever they wanted, I did. And then they left. And then I like went off the rails later that night, like was having a full mental breakdown, like crying hysterically and like just like a mess. Just like the combination of like the Brody stuff mixed with getting off of this, like,
yeah,
getting off of prescribed meth, like pushed me over the edge. And so basically, like, then I had to ride in an ambulance to a psych ward.
They did check you in.
They checked me
in. So they pick you up at your house?
They pick me up at my house. And I remember
getting into the psych ward. Are all the neighbors outside and shit? Is everybody watching?
I truly don't know. But it was a spectacle for sure.
I'm sure.
I remember getting into the ambulance.
So wait, I'm sorry. 12 cop cars show up. They leave.
12 cops show up.
They leave. Ambulance shows up.
Ambulance shows up. ambulance.
I mean, there's a situation over at the wine shank household.
Yeah. Everyone on the street's like, "Oh, this bitch is what's going on?" It's, like, it's all up here.
Is that that actress?
Yeah. So I get into the. I remember the ambulance pulls up, and I am like on another level. I'm like, "Oh, my chariot has arrived."
Oh, did you say that, yes. Or you think that?
My chariot has arrived. I'm skipping into the ambulance, like all fucking happy. Like totally.
Do you remember?
I remember being like, "Oh, my chariot has arrived." And I remember sitting in the ambulance, and there is like this hot black guy in the ambulance with me. And his last name was Johnson. And I yell out of nowhere, "Big Johnson energy." I was like, and then I start laughing hysterically and like think I'm crushing it with like the ambulance people. I'm like pounding him. I'm like, "Yeah, what's up? What's up? What's up?" I'm like friends with all these people. It was crazy. I get to the hospital.
Oh, God.
I get to the, they take me to the hospital before they take me to the psych ward. I don't know why.
What hospital?
Encino Hospital.
Okay.
Made a big appearance at Encino Hospital.
Had you kill there?
I made a scene there. I was like listening to like, I remember just like listening to music and being like, this song is perfect for right now in this moment. It's like, you're in the hospital having like a mental breakdown. I don't know. It was just crazy. But basically, then they gave me like a tranquilizer so that they could take me to the psych ward and figure out what was going on with me because I was not making sense. So I just wake up in the psych ward and I'm like, "Where the hell am I?"
Okay, wait. What is that like? You wake up and what is the room? Is it
okay? The room is, you have two roommates.
They're in there with you? They're, you wake up the strangers in there?
Yes.
Whoa, that's creepy. Yes. That's fucking weird.
There, it's like a big room.
Ew, I've never woke up with people in my room.
You wake up
that you don't know. Yeah. Check out the Honeydew with y'all. Some guy did though.
That So fucking crazy. So I wake up. And I don't remember really anything because they like tranquilized me to get me in there. And my roommate in the psych ward, two roommates, goes, "Are you okay?" And when your roommate in the psych ward is asking you if you're okay, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm totally fine." And like, "What?" And she's like, "You were like screaming last night. You were making a huge scene." I was like, "I was." And she's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "I have no recollection of that at all." And everyone was like, "Oh, are you okay?" I'm like, "I'm great. Are you guys okay?"
Yeah, right. What are you all doing?
Yeah. I was like the crazy person at the psych ward because I was like coming down from Adderall and like hadn't slept in like a week.
Holy shit.
So like the combination of like sleep deprivation mixed with like grief mixed with like not getting the proper like brain chemicals that you're supposed to get just like pushed me over the edge and put me in like a psychosis. So I had to stay at the psych ward for 3 days. And being at the psych ward is the craziest shit ever.
Tell me the room. Describe the room that you're in, that you stay in mostly.
Okay. Well, there's your bedroom area, and you go there at night. Oh, that's it, pretty much it. But it's, like, very clean. The place that I went to was actually, like, a nice one. Which I can't imagine what a not nice one would be like. But the room, they, like, clean it a lot, and there's, like, three beds lined up.
There are no bunk beds, just three.
No, just three lined up. And then you have a bathroom that you share with your three roommates.
And is it in an open floor plan or is it doors shut?
It's like
no privacy.
There's doors, but they take your phone. They take all your personal belongings when you arrive.
Shoelaces.
And I remember looking down at my shoes.
Do you remember what you were wearing? Yeah, were you wearing?
Yeah. Oh, what I was wearing was insane.
Yeah.
Okay, I had this pajama shirt it was like, for some reason, I was like, this is what I'm going to wear. And it was like, because I love clothes, but like the outfit was insane. I had on it was like a toy soldier, like pajama Christmas shirt. So from the top, it looked like I was a toy soldier.
I get it. Yeah. Not toy soldiers all over, but like the outfit.
It was like the outfit. Like it had like the gold, like things like this. And like, I was just like a toy soldier.
Chariot. You got to get that
like,
chariot.
I was like bringing some heavy princess energy to the fucking psych ward. And then like mismatched socks. Like if you saw my outfit, you'd be like, yeah, she belongs in the psych ward, which is unusual for me because I always wear, I'm always like on point with
you.
You
took the words out of my mouth. I even messaged you. You are on point. You are I can't imagine what you'd be going in.
So I had a toy soldier shirt on top, and then I had 101 Dalmatian shoes. And they were, and they took the shoelaces out of them because the headspace I was in was like, oh yeah, 101 Dalmatian shoes, fuck yeah. Like, I feel like I really regressed during my psychosis. Like, I became very childlike.
Okay.
And I had these like 101 Dalmatian shoes on, and they didn't have any like fucking shoelaces. And I remember looking down at my shoes and being like, this is some mentally ill shit. Like, to be wearing 101 Dalmatian shoes and you don't even have the laces so that you don't kill yourself, like, that's insane.
It's the bomb.
I had to throw out the 101 Dalmatian shoes. I'm like, it's time to let these go. The right, you know what I mean? You're a grown woman.
I love that that's what it took for
you're
you to finally get
a grown woman, bitch. Throw out the 101 Dalmatian shoes. What are you doing? Like, pull it together. So I remember just, like, looking down at my shoes and being like, ugh. I can't believe I don't have shoelaces. So insulting. So gross. Like, I just... okay. I'm trying to think what else happened. So, basically, they give you medication while you're there. Whatever. You meet with a doctor in the psych ward, and they just, like, medicate you to keep you, like, in check. And you have to take whatever they give you. You don't even know, really, what they're giving you.
Really?
Yeah. They're like, here's your medication.
And you haven't been able to tell anyone, look, I took Adderall. You haven't been able to tell anyone that yet?
I meet with a doctor, okay, and they tell you, and like, I'm like, I took Adderall, I stopped taking it, and I did this. And they just, like, think they give you, like, anxiety medication. Basically, like, my parents just didn't know what was going on with me, and they thought that I was, like, a harm to myself. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we just want to make sure.
And were you? Were you aggressive at all or physical with anyone else or yourself?
I was just, like, very, like, traumatized by what had just happened and, like, very sad. And then also I hadn't slept, and also just, like, my brain chemicals were off. Like, I definitely needed help for sure. So, like, in hindsight, it's pretty much, like, the best thing that's ever happened to me because I'm off Adderall, but, it was a fucking journey. I mean, I remember, like, it was easier to get, like, an anxiety medication than it was to get chapstick or, like, a cough drop. Whoa. I was like, can I get a cough drop? And they're like, cause I was yelling so much. I remember yelling so much, and my voice was, like, all, like, scratchy. And I was like, can I get a cough drop? They're like, you actually had a cough drop 30 minutes ago. So technically we have to wait another hour.
Really?
I was like, for a fucking cough drop? Like, they have weird rules. Yeah, I'm like, who eats cough drops as prescribed? Like, you follow the exact rules on the cough drop bag. I could, like,
I didn't even know they had them.
I could finish a cough drop bag in, like, an hour.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I feel. Yeah. It's a candy. Yeah. What do you mean? I just want something to suck on while I'm in the psych ward. Like, come back. Not yet. I was like, okay. And I just remember.
But here's,
like,
some lithium.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. The other people that were walking around were fucking insane too. I remember.
What do you remember?
This girl who had, like, this shaved head. She was like, she became my friend. She kept asking me these questions, and I was like, she's like, I need a lawyer. And I was like, I need a lawyer too. And my dad's a lawyer. So I called my dad. I'm like, hey, dad, I need a lawyer. And he's like, for what? And I was like, to get me out of the psych ward. He's like, you're not coming out of there. You have to stay there for 3 days. That's part of it. And I was like, oh, so you can't be my lawyer to get me out of here? He's like, no, I put you in there.
Your lawyer put you in.
I was like, oh, shit. Damn. Good point.
Maybe you'll have better luck with my dad.
Yeah. I just remember there was this guy. So they have, like, this payphone, which it's like, why do they have a payphone? It's like a payphone.
Like, that, old school payphone?
Yeah. It's like in the middle of the hall. Mm-hmm. And it has a very short cord because they don't want you to hang yourself.
is that right?
Yeah. It's like the shortest cord you could ever imagine. So you're like, you have to talk like this. It's in the middle. It's in the middle of the hall. So it's like, if you make a phone call, then everyone, like, can see you, what's going on. So, like, there's this guy that came out, and I just remember he had no pants on. He just had on,
night pants?
Nightgown. No night pants. It was like a shirt that was short, and then his, like, he had on, like, brief underwear, and I could see his balls and his butt. And he was, like, on the phone, like, calling his wife, and I was just like, I got someone in the psych ward. I was like, can you ask this guy to put on some pants? Because I keep looking at his balls. And they're like, sure.
Princess wants you to put on some pants.
Yeah. But then there's like, okay, so then there's like an entertainment room. That's where you hang out.
Okay.
In the entertainment.
And what sort of games are you allowed to play if you can kill yourself?
All the kookies are in there playing games. So it's like Taboo.
Okay.
Which that goes
can't
hard.
Kill yourself with taboo.
Can't kill yourself with taboo.
I mean, you could probably beat somebody with the buzzer to death if you wanted. Yeah.
Scategories. They have magazines in there. They have TV. They have coloring books. They have, and if you're, because I was like regressing. So I was like coloring nonstop. In
How
the
was your color? Were you good? Did you stay in the
lines?
I
was killing it. Yeah. I was killing the coloring game. And then, okay, the food in the psych ward. We have to talk about the food.
Okay.
So the food in the psych ward, shockingly good.
Really?
I mean, the chicken feta. First of all, they have something called chicken feta. Feta chicken. I don't know what it is. I don't know if that's just something they make there. But I was like, this is incredible. This is literally the best. Like, I give the psych ward 1 star, but I give the feta chicken 5.
I give the psych ward chef a 5 star.
But the funniest was one night, I go, what's for dinner? They go, a McRib. Excuse me? You're giving me a McRib? You guys are ripping off McDonald's McRib in the psych ward, and that's what you're feeding me? Loved it, by the way.
Was it a real McRib?
No, it was like their version.
Their version
of a McRib.
The McRib.
That was like, to me, the funniest
thing.
You
loved it.
I thought it was the funniest thing of all time. Like, what alternate universe am I in where like they're giving me a McRib and it's good and like the feta chicken's incredible? And then, so like in the entertainment room, I start talking to like the other inmates or whatever.
Inmates.
The other
yeah.
hostages. And they're like, I'm like, I do stand up. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah, you guys want a show? They're like, yeah. I'm like, cool. Okay. So I start doing stand up for like
you
everyone.
You did stand up at the psych ward?
Yeah. I was like, why not? I have a live audience.
Did you remember your set?
Oh, yeah,
that
killed.
Was clear.
Killed. I go, so there's like, there is a pepper shaker on the, in the like.
You got balls, girl. You
there's
got
a
balls.
Pepper shaker by like in the area where everyone was hanging out, and it was the only thing that kind of looked like a mic, so I start using it as my mic because like this
you didn't even
black...
have a real mic.
No, I started doing it with the pepper shaker.
How many people were there?
Probably like 7.
That's what it's like now, probably.
Yeah. And look, the guy, the psych ward guy, comes in or whoever's in charge. Like you can't use the.
They gave you the light.
He lit me for using the pepper shaker as a mic, and I go,
come on.
I go. Why can't I use the pepper shaker as a mic? It's fine if I sprinkle it on food, but if I use it like this, that's a problem? Like, I didn't understand. I was so appalled. So then I couldn't use the pepper. They took away the pepper shaker, so I had to use my fist and pretend like I had a mic.
Improv.
Yeah.
Space work.
Then I started networking with the people at the psych ward. I'm giving away my Twitter handle, which I don't really remember, probably because I was, like, on anti-anxiety meds. So I'm like...
They don't want to open for you.
I go, hey, follow me on Twitter. I tweet. And so... I get back from the psych ward and I tweet, something about how I was the most popular girl in the psych ward, like as a joke. I thought it was funny to myself. I thought I was killing it. This chick who started following me from the psych ward responds and goes, actually, to be honest, I think Dara was more popular. And I was like, what the hell? Hold down.
Dara didn't do time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Called
so
up.
Wait. All right. You're in there. You did a lot in 3 fucking days, by the way. Good for you.
Network.
See, that's that hustle
mentality.
Got to
set in. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Did you sleep comfortably there? I'm curious. Were you able to?
Yeah, they give you like it was the first time I actually was able to sleep in like a long time because they give you like medication that helps you sleep.
Okay, so they're knocking you out.
They're basically like drugging you into like submission and you're like, "Okay." And then after I got out of the psych ward, I got a psychiatrist, and then from there I've been fine. So like it's all been fine since then. Luckily.
So what happens when you get out? Like,
well, when you get out, you feel like an actual crazy person because you're like, wait, I was actually in a psych ward. Because if you would have told me that I was going to end up in a psych ward ever in my life, I would be like, you're insane. That's never going to happen to me. So afterward, it's like this like trauma of being like held somewhere against your will basically for 3 days and like realizing like the repercussions of taking prescribed meth for 5 years.
Prescribed meth.
Yeah.
You're right though.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you're like, oh, it wasn't just like a, there's like no easy pill to like get exactly what you want.
No.
You know what I mean?
No
there
magic.
Never is.
Never.
So yeah, so afterward I had to be in like therapy and try to figure out, you know, whether or not I needed to be medicated for ADD, and I don't need to be, because it's like when I was taking Adderall, it was like I was a personal assistant doing like data entry. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different than being a stand-up.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Or being a podcaster, or yeah, you know what I mean? So luckily I've been able to like be fine, and like my life has become exponentially better from getting off of Adderall. And it's just scary that so many people are prescribed it, especially children.
Yeah, I didn't even know that. And this is all news to me. Didn't know anything like that could happen. Yeah,
it's really bad for your nervous system. Have you met
prior to this? Did you know that could happen, or have you ever met anyone since that this happened to?
No. But my psychiatrist thought it was like a combination of like the grief mixed with like cold turkey not taking the medication.
Yeah,
he's like, that's why. You can't just not take something you've been taking for 5 years.
And just, yeah.
Wing
stop.
It. Yeah.
So what was therapy like? I mean, are they trying to dive deep on you to see if there's real shit going on? Or
yeah,
are they sort of,
yeah,
they knew what was up?
Yeah, no, I went to like a lot of therapy. I went to, first it was like twice a week.
Did you ever go before this incident?
Yeah,
therapy?
I had therapy you before, did. But this therapist was like, the therapist that I went to was like a genius and like really understood like the brain and like neurology and just everything. And he was just amazing and basically like saved my life.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for a while it was therapy twice a week. Now I go once a month. And yeah.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or a diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. And since it's just a soft pull, it does not affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and you proceed with your application. And the best part is if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/honeydew. to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Omax CryoFreeze. Living with chronic pain is the worst. It's more than a feeling of discomfort. It can affect your whole life. I know many of you have probably some kind of pain that you deal with. It's prevented you from relaxing and sleeping, or it stopped you from exercising. Perhaps it's been ongoing for a few weeks now and hasn't improved with any of the treatments you've tried. Enter Omax Health. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health. This is a non-prescription, triple-action pain relief roll-on. It's specially formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. The best part is this 100% natural CBD-powered remedy works its magic within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours, much longer than the over-the-counter products. I told you since, God, it's been December, my neck's been killing me, my shoulders, my trap, my neck, and I've just been using that roll-on, and it works. It really works. It makes everything tolerable, so much better, and quick. All right, so here's the deal that they're offering. Omax Health is offering you guys 20% off a full body cryo-free CBD pain relief roll-on plus free shipping. This discount also applies toward any product site-wide. Okay, so just go to omaxhealth.com today. Enter code HONEYDEW. That's omaxhealth.com. And enter code HONEYDEW to get 20% off cryo-freeze and site-wide. Now, let's get back into the do. Do you talk about this in stand-up as well?
No. Well, okay, this is the thing. A lot of my stand-up is like dry observational stand-up. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to incorporate the psych ward material into my stand-up. And then the pandemic happened. So like my goal is to incorporate it into my stand-up when stand-up comes back, because like there's something about the McRib, and like it lives at the psych ward the rest of the year when it's not at McDonald's.
I like that. There's also something about like the McRib is back. You guys, I love food. You know where the best chicken fried I've ever had in my life is? The psych ward.
Yeah.
Like, and wait, also, what did you just fucking say?
It's so crazy because I had like so much shame associated with it, and it was such like a moment that like I felt like defined me, and I was like, oh my.
Shame in what way? Like
of like. I'm crazy. I went to the loony bin. That's like a thing that doesn't really happen.
But for 3 days.
Yeah, but like it just like it takes like a second to process the fact that you went to that place. I would imagine it would be like if you go to jail and you weren't expecting that to happen too. It's like the same type of feeling. You're like being held somewhere against your will and like you have no control over it. But yeah, it took me like a while to like get to a place of like comfort with it. I mean, I talked about it on my podcast after it happened just because I felt like I had to, because it feels like, you know, like mental health stuff is so it affects so many different people, and especially
in
you
know, so many ways
in so
too.
Many ways, and especially now with the pandemic and stuff, it's like, you know, it's sometimes it's okay to need help and it's okay to not be okay, and like that doesn't make you any less strong or, you know, or human.
Nope.
So overall, it was a good thing because I don't think I would have ever been able to get off of Adderall because it is so addicting.
You think you'd still be on it?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, it's impossible to do anything when you're getting off of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Without the psychiatrist who,
I mean, obviously you like marijuana, so yeah. That's interesting because that's more of a relaxing thing than an upper. Mm-hmm. I mean, but weed makes me focus like that, though.
Yeah, well.
Not like that, though. Not like the da-da-da-da-da-da. Not
no,
yet. I'll be like, let's do this for an hour and get all that done. All right, let's smoke
Now I just smoke weed.
Yeah.
I'm like, weed, the occasional mushroom trip, that's it.
And some water.
Yeah.
What else do you fucking need?
Nothing.
That's it.
That is it.
So do your parents or anyone in your life that knows you went there, did any of them ever look at you with that little or doubt you or think anything? Like, has it been a little like, oh, she's going crazy again? Have you had that?
No. Nothing. Since. No. I mean, like, I think my parents are like, after it happened, they were like hyper-focused on me for a second, which was weird. I was like,
because they started taking Adderall.
Yeah. Like, you guys doing Adderall?
You guys on Adderall right now?
You guys take my Adderall?
You just said, like, it is weird to
Mom,
be a woman
in your... Mom, the pantry looks great.
You guys take it. As a woman in your 30s to be monitored by your parents? Yeah, I could totally understand
fucking
that.
Fucking weird.
Yeah.
But to their credit, they were like really there for me.
They were more supportive of this than you actually wanting to do child acting.
Yeah, that's way good. More that's supportive.
Great. That's
yeah.
great. Yeah, they that's were, what parents
yeah,
need
they
to be.
Helped me. Yeah. They helped me pay off my ambulance bill, which the whole trip was not cheap.
I bet.
I would have preferred a vacation.
Yeah, I bet.
Send me to the Bahamas mm-hmm. to get clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for real.
Just leave me here on a beach.
Yeah.
Same price.
Serious.
Leave me here on a beach for
God.
A month. Yeah.
So what was it like being off Adderall? I mean, was it
now
like,
I just feel like I have like my life back. Like, I just feel like I'm more happy.
Yeah.
When I was on it. Cause like.
You've been off now for what?
A year and a half.
A year and a half. And you're happy off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
I'm like happy and I'm just more creative and just like more my authentic self because I'm not just like, oh, gotta go do this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'm not
waking your roommate up at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And shit. Yeah.
Wake up, bitch.
Yeah. You want breakfast?
Yeah. What are you doing in my room? I don't know. Like calling people who I shouldn't be calling at like 7 a.m. Crazy. They're like, what's going on? Like several times. Like stuff like that. Like,
did you have to send, like, as part of therapy and stuff, did they ask you to send apologies to anybody or anything like
no,
that?
No, they didn't make me do that.
I've gotten those over the years. Oh, some, like, an ex, like, 4 years later, but like, they just want to let you know. So I'm like, oh, you're in therapy.
You're in AA.
Every time, like, oh, and I always write back. Hey, no worries. Yeah. Man. You know, we were all good. Take care. Yeah.
It's make
always
amends. Like,
oh, another anonymous here.
12 stepper. Yeah. No.
I get them all. I've had food addiction email me. I've had sex addiction email me. I've had fucking cocaine addiction email me. All years later, all of them, like, hey, I just want to let you know I was an asshole. I'm like, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I didn't really have... I mean, like, I did apologize to, like, the people who I put out. But I didn't do, like, any formal, like, amends. No. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's nothing to be embarrassed about. I get it, though. I get it. It's
well, when you have your 101 Dalmatian shoes on and they don't have any shoelaces in them.
In your 30s.
And you're in your
30s. You said you're a grown woman,
you're
bitch.
A grown woman, bitch. What are you doing? You're begging for a cough drop? Please, can I get a Halls?
That, like, I don't have a problem with that, just so you know.
Can I get a chloroseptic, like, spray? Like, no.
So since then, do you get, like, do you meditate? What do you do to help focus?
Okay.
Like, what have
I
you
exercise
shifted to?
I exercise every day.
Okay, what do you do for exercise?
4 miles a day minimum.
Running, hiking,
walking? Or hiking.
Wow, no matter what. You
no
just get out
what.
And move.
Yes.
Okay,
I
that's
haven't
great.
Done it today, but I do it every day. That's the main thing. And, like, I have to be, like, out in nature.
And do you find, like, when you walk, for me, I'm asking, because when I walk and I listen to music, I'm never more clear, like, and open, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially out in the sun, it feels so good. We're lucky to be in Southern California.
So, like, I turn my phone off, or I put on airplane mode, and then I just play music, and then, so no one can bother me, and then I just do my walk, and then after that, I'm, like, able to focus. I mean, the thing is, I can focus on comedy, podcast, writing, stuff that I'm excited about.
Yes.
And, like, that's
not
what
math.
I not math
right.
They're not
yes.
like data entry
yes.
and not like an Excel sheet and like I think that that's where there needs to be changes and like the way that kids learn and like there isn't just a one size fits all type of education and not everyone has the same strengths. So I think it's like, I know if I have kids, I want to encourage them to, like, explore different learning styles.
Absolutely.
And just stuff like that. Because I think it's like if you don't fit into, like, this box of, like, what it means to be, like, a good student, or then there's, like, weird pressure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we were talking before this about just college in general. It's a fucking money trap for so many people.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really, a lot of times, how many directors and everything else we know coming out of USC and you guys are fucking working in Starbucks?
I know,
you know what
few,
I mean?
Myself, like, personally.
Did like, you go to USC?
No, I went to Chapman. But
oh, yeah, you said Chapman. That's
Chapman's
right.
hell.
Is it?
It really was. It was like...
Did you feel like unaccepted or just overlooked or what? Break it down.
I felt bored. I was like, this is the most sterile. It would seem perfect from the outside because it was like a private school. It's expensive to go to. It was like a lot of like rich kids everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like rich kids. Like blonde rich kids. Like I felt like I was diverse because I had dark hair. I was like, does anybody like me because I have dark hair? Like, everyone was fucking blonde with blue eyes. And I felt like I woke up in, like, this weird dystopian hell. And I didn't want to be in a sorority because I went to all-girls Catholic high school. So I was like...
Oh, man, yeah.
I'm done with bitches.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what's weird is because, like, I spent so much time around women in high school that... It's been interesting to now spend so much time around men because of stand-up. It's been such, like, a different...
Boy, what a group to be spending time around these days. Yeah.
I know, but I love comics. I miss all my comic friends,
know,
too.
From
being, like, in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all stuck in the house.
Yeah. So, like, Adderall, if I can compare it to anything, it's, like, the Mountain Dew of prescribed pills.
Okay.
Because Mountain Dew is like kind of cracky.
That Jack?
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Cracky.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to ask you some more stuff then.
Yeah.
with, well, I mean, with comedy right now being where it is, what are you doing to stay focused with that? Do you ever want to go? Have you ever thought about going back? Do you ever feel like you need that shit again? Like, how are you keeping?
With what, Adderall?
Yeah.
No, I'll never.
You're done.
No. You, like, I don't even want to be around anyone who's on it because I know that place that they're at and it's not a good place.
Even though it feels good at that time.
Like, it's weird because I think that if we're having to give people prescribed speed to function in society, then there is something wrong with society.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that, no.
Yeah.
Especially kids, especially.
Yeah, you're right. Children is, because there's so many of them on. Then you got ADD, ADHD. I don't even know what the hell like, the real signs are. Yeah.
Put them in sports. Put them in like a play. Put them in something else. Like,
get the energy out some way else.
Yeah. Totally. And like, I think that, like, encourage different like extracurricular activities, especially too, I think.
So how are you staying focused right now? Exercise is a big part of it.
Coffee. I have my coffee. Yeah. I have my coffee. I exercise. I have like no problem focusing on podcasting, writing, making video content. Like,
that's what you love.
I love doing it. So it's like all fun and playful for me. It's the, and even like, and it was like once I quit my personal assistant job, I just wanted to get off of it. And I was already taking the steps to get off of it. But I don't think I would have been able to do it fully myself without that whole.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, no, I didn't mean it like that.
No.
I'm sorry.
I'm not easily offended about the word crazy. Don't worry.
All right. But isn't that something?
It's insane.
That you would have to fucking go through something like that. Like it's. You know, we talk about it all the time. Like, there's no way to even try to convince somebody in the middle of that shit that you'll see. This will be
the best thing that ever happens to you.
Best thing that ever fucking happened to you 100%. Is that you did 3 days at a fucking psych ward.
Yeah, 100%. Because
even though Dara.
Yeah, it was more popular.
Yeah, I mean, number two is not bad.
Like, listen,
you were only there for three.
I thought I was killing the game.
That girl.
I was like,
hecklers everywhere.
Yes. Bitch from the psych ward is heckling me now.
Oh, this comedy store princess.
Yeah. This girl. one of my roommates from the psych ward called me post psych ward to check and see if I was doing okay. And I was like, which was nice, but in my head, I was thinking, it's not a good sign when your roommate from the psych ward is following up with you to make sure you're okay. I was like, are you okay, bitch? Why are you calling me?
Do you know what other people were in there for? Do you remember?
There's like...
Because it always blows me away when you like people really go to prison and it's like, I just stole a car. And they're like, yeah, well, you're in there with a guy that killed seven people.
There's one girl who was in there for a long time. She had been in there for 2 or 3 weeks. And she was like, I don't know what was going on with her because like everyone seems if you like go with the flow and you have good behavior, they let you out.
I see.
So it's like, I don't know what she was doing before I got there to be in there for 2 weeks, but she must have been acting a fool before I got in there. But then when I came, I was like the one that was a little wild. So I don't really. Yeah, but I don't remember it because they tranquilized me to get me in there. I guess I was like kicking and screaming a lot.
Don't you wish you could? There was a video that you could go back and watch yourself when you weren't yourself. Be like, I did that.
Yes, because I was out of control.
I can't imagine you being
out
of control.
I was fucking insane. It was insane. I was making dick jokes in the ambulance.
Big dick energy.
Big Johnson energy.
That's
and then I start laughing and like high-fiving.
You should. That's good.
And then like, I'm like, I'm crushing right now. Yes. Amazing. Crazy.
They probably tell everyone that fucking story. Like this one time, this little white chick got in here, fucking said to Ernie over there, hey man, Big Johnson's energy.
And he fucking loved it.
You've seen so much shit. If that doesn't make you laugh, it makes my face hurt. That is so good.
It's so funny. It's just like the whole thing.
I would have been like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. I'll put you on my guest list.
Call me on Twitter.
I tweet.
Like, I can't believe. Yeah, I was writing out Princess Shank and passing it around. That's my handle. Follow me. Are you guys on social media? Follow me. It's like, why are you not working at the psych ward? Go home.
That is so. I mean, sorry to laugh. But
no,
God, it's, yeah, I know where that's what we do here. Yeah. But you know, God damn it, it's funny. It really.
If I could get that chicken feta, I wonder if they do delivery.
Right now, they probably would love to do it. Like, hey, can we get that chicken feta? Just, you know what I'm saying? Memories. Just a little
old time steak.
You know what I mean? I'll promote it on the podcast.
I'll put on my Instagram story if you could hook me up with a counterfeit McRib.
I want to try it now.
It's fucking incredible.
I really do want. I don't know if I want to do what it takes to get there to try it, but I definitely want to.
I can give you the cocktail.
I
take a bunch of Adderall and then just stop and see what happens.
Fuck. I mean, I dated a girl very briefly one time that was on some kind of
ADD med.
Yeah, or like a, and wasn't properly, Jesus Christ, properly weaning off of it either. And she would do like this. I'm like, what's going on? No. She's like, I'm getting these like electrical charges that are, maybe it was like Lexapro or something like that. And I'm like,
oh,
what?
I have heard that about.
And she would, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like listen.
Like, this isn't going to work.
It's a wrap. I'm like, what's happening? She's like, these electric impulses. I'm like, why don't you talk to your doctor how to get off of that shit properly? Because you're fucking weirding me out. That was a wrap on that. Was a couple dates. And I was like, ooh.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch you twitch from electric charges because you won't get off your shit, right?
Yeah. No, it's like, because like, I didn't realize that it's like a controlled substance that you actually have to like wean off of in like a proper way.
Right.
And like, probably the best way to get off of it is to go to like a rehab, not to just like do it cold turkey, because you feel really sick when you're getting off of it too. You're like,
I'll bet, yeah.
Sweating and shit.
Yeah, sounds like that sounds like heroin.
Withdrawals. Like, no, it is getting off of it was honestly so bad that it's so bad that you would never want to be on it again. That's how I felt.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a reaction like that to any medic? Are you allergic to anything or?
No, not really.
Had you ever blacked out or anything before?
From drinking?
Yeah.
From drinking, yeah. But not from like an actual like psychosis. But it was a combination of like lack of sleep mixed with the fucking not taking the medication.
And Brody and all the trauma.
It was like so much trauma in such a small amount of time.
Yeah,
but basically, it saved my life.
Isn't it? That's,
so, which is crazy.
There's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I would have, because I knew for a long time I wanted to get off of it, but I don't know if I would have been able to, at least like not in the society we were living in pre-pandemic, because everything was so like, you have, I felt like I'm a perfectionist too. So for me, Adderall was the perfect storm because it's like, look at how clean everything is. Look at how organized everything is. Because I can be organized, but it doesn't come like really naturally to me. I have to like try to be organized. Mm-hmm. But on Adderall, I was like, everything's fucking organized. It's never looked better, bitch.
Well, I really appreciate you coming on
and
sharing all this.
Yeah.
This is... that's an amazing story. I had no, I'm glad. Thank you. Cause I hear kids in like Artie and my daughter's classes are on this stuff. And, you know, I always get worried about any time you're putting kids on any kind of medication.
Yeah. So. Like if you're a parent and you're thinking about it, or if you have a kid that's on it and they really like take another look at that, because it's like,
all right. Yeah. So let me ask you then, since first time here, advice for your 16-year-old self.
Stop going to the tanning salon.
You used to do that a lot.
Oh, my God. Full addiction to that.
Really? And Encino,
you
too,
you have no idea.
How many times a day?
Once a day.
Okay. But every day?
Mm-hmm.
Every day?
Every day.
For how long?
Year. At least 1 to 2 years.
And did you get any kind of melanoma, cancer?
No, but I looked so dark. Because my mom is Puerto Rican, so I can get dark. So I was like a different ethnicity. Like, if you look at my college ID, I don't have it. I wish I did. But I look like, you can just see my teeth and like the whites of my eyes. The rest of me is like so tan. I look like a fully like ethnically ambiguous. You'd be like, what? I remember I was obsessed with tanning. I got like a spray tan for prom. and my date was Indian and I was darker than him.
Come on.
I swear to God. Sarah. I swear to God. And I was like, maybe I should have done the level 3 spray. Like there's different levels of tan.
Yeah.
I did level 3 and I was like, it was like orange, like dark, burnt orange dye spray.
What happened when you showed up? Was he like, what the fuck? Or his parents like, you got a good, nice Indian girl.
I don't even never remember. Oh, I just like
trip girl.
I was like, I was obsessed with tanning. I was like, I'm really glad I got off tanning and Adderall because that could have been just like a leather face, cigarette smoking, like Adderall bitch with like neon pink nails. Like for a while I was doing neon pink nails with the tanning. I was like, this is a great look.
Oh man.
This is a hot look. People don't get it.
These nails are on point right here.
Blue. Though.
Yeah.
This is who I am now.
Yeah, they're great.
Much better.
They're great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Sharing
so
all that. Yeah. Will you please, again, promote whatever you'd like?
Yes. Okay. So follow me at Princess Shank. Princess like normal and then another S-H-E-N-K. Check out my podcast, Shank, S-H-E-N-K, wherever there's podcasts, all streaming platforms. That's everywhere. What I was looking for. Spotify, iTunes, blah, 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 blah. YouTube, Sarah Winechank. Check out Shanks for Smoking on Comedy Central Digital. And that's it.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate you coming.
It was
a good time.
Yeah.
It was a great episode. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.